Casino. Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus. Moto Casino. America's social casino. Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let the lies. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
To the show. Hopefully your weekend went as well as it possibly could, and we got some tough weather coming up. Hell, Sean and I will be displaced, well, voluntarily. Actually, I don't even know if it's voluntary. They did ask us if we wanted a room. If we had said no and then couldn't have gotten to work because we said no, I wonder how that would have gone. We'll get to that later. Just proves that Sean and I are the most important people at the station. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But it'll be the final time we get to do this, at least until September of next year. I don't think we're going to be doing this for preseason games, if he even plays in one. So, it's 19-28. Sacked 8 times. No touchdowns, no picks, passer rating over 95. Ran for several first downs with his legs. 6 carries, 42 yards. For the final time this year, unless, you know, he gets late addition to the Pro Bowl games.
We're definitely doing for the Pro Bowl if he's in the Pro Bowl.
The Pro Bowl games.
Flag football game, yes. Dodgeball, I don't know.
All the things. Is this or was Saturday a Shred'em Shroud game for Shroud, Sean?
It was not.
It was not?
No.
People are saying he was the best quarterback in the divisional round, and you're not giving it to him?
I said that in the wild card game because he passed for the most yards of all the wild card.
Yeah,
game.
I said he almost threw 3 picks, though. So that's what my contention
was. Zero touchdowns.
Mike, oh, okay. It has to be. But he was dodging pressure. I said ran for several first downs, kept his bum leg, fought through it.
I'm not saying he wasn't a warrior out there. Not saying he wasn't good enough.
Just not good
enough.
Not good enough for
Shred'em Shroud.
You need a touchdown.
On. At one touchdown.
PFF said he played worse than Justin Herbert last week, and you gave it to him.
Yeah, because you know what PFF didn't show? Wins.
Oh, you got to win.
Yeah, it's the playoffs.
I mean,
are we
saying?
Do you think Lamar was awesome?
For the last half. This last half, he was pretty good. Before then, not so much. So no Shred'em Shroud.
It counts. It all counts. It's the playoffs. So,
and you got to win. And the Texans did not do that. They go down 23-14. I don't really care that they outgame the Chiefs. Look, I'm not going to go full in on Teddy Bruschi where you have to play Patrick Mahomes differently because you expect calls. But the Texans don't know how to win games like this. It was part of why I talked about how big of an upset it would be if they went into Kansas City. Beyond the history at stake for Kansas City, beyond the fact that Patrick Mahomes never loses these games, and the Chiefs clearly as well, the Texans don't know what it's like to win a game like this. Never. The offer remains. That's why, despite the number, despite the fact that the Chiefs had so many one-score wins, I didn't think the Texans, or at least if they were going to win, I think the upset would be bigger than the odds makers would say. And we saw that play out. We'll get into where we feel the refs played a part, but you have to play great to beat the Chiefs. And how many Texans played great? I think Stroud, considering his circumstances, played a really good game. Will Anderson, give him some credit. I guess you want to give the corners credit because the Chiefs receivers did next to nothing. But how many Texans play great football? That's how you win the game. We know their special teams was a disaster. Lost that phase.
Chris Boyd clearly wasn't the worst special teamer.
Thanks to Kaimi. Thanks to Kaimi, Chris Boyd wasn't the worst special teamer. He forced
the fumble.
He did the most egregious thing, I guess, of tossing his helmet, pushing his coach. That's all been worked out. Chris Boyd is fine.
Misunderstanding.
He continued to play throughout the game. So the Texans are very forgiving. We know. They put Shaq Mason back in the in the starting lineup. Very forgiving of guys making mistakes. The penalties unfairly swayed the Chiefs' way. But I can't get involved in really feeling sorry for the Texans in that regard when they played as poorly as they did. Their undisciplined nature, and it's not just the penalties. They're an undisciplined football team in things they do between the whistles. Azeez Ashir losing Travis Kelce twice, having his eyes in the wrong place, following a receiver that's already covered. Like how many guys were following a receiver going to the flat when Travis Kelce's sitting wide open in the middle of the field on his first long gainer? And then, of course, on the touchdown when Patrick Mahomes is falling down, Azeez Ashir's eyes are in the wrong spot, isn't aware of the movement from Travis Kelce, and Travis Kelce just sneaks behind him, catches a touchdown to give the Chiefs a great response to the Texans' great drive. The Texans played great on offense for one drive. It took everything beyond overcoming penalties and a sack. They drove down the field, what was it, almost 10 minutes? They took off the clock and went down there and scored. And, of course, the culmination of that touchdown was a Kaimi Fairburn missed extra point. So even when coming out of half, they were trying to score 10 points before the Chiefs really had a snap because they kicked the field goal before half, and then they went down the field and scored. That would have tied the game. And even then, something got in the way. The Texans were their own worst enemy. They're not, at this point in their build, ready to play these games. Ready to win these games. They can find their way into these games. It was a much better effort than the one against Baltimore, but Baltimore's just a bad matchup. And neither one of those teams will be in the AFC title game. But you credit them for staying in it, I guess. But I don't like the mindset when you hear it after the game. You want to talk about the referees being a problem in game? Okay. I'll point out that each of those penalties, after they happened, the Chiefs weren't in scoring territory. Now the second Patrick Mahomes penalty put them in Texans territory, but the first one, sure, that's rough. Patrick Mahomes misses a throw. By the way, Travis Kelce wide open again. He just missed him that time. The next play after the penalty, Travis Kelce's behind your defense for 30-something yards. You could not cover him all game long. I don't know if there was an undue amount of attention placed on those mid receivers the Chiefs have, but the one guy that you have to cover, you did not cover. And, of course, everyone says this. I get the complaint. How could you leave him open? Joe Buck, Troy Aikman talk about it. You guys say that all the time. He's always open. No matter what the game is, no matter what the team is, how often, particularly in these moments, how often is Travis Kelce open and someone is saying, how could you leave him open? He's open because he's great. Whatever it is, he gets open all the time. So maybe we back away from, I can't believe they let them open, when you can say that every time there's a big moment. Just expect him to be open. That's how it is. The Texans did a poor job on him. And I'm not suggesting you follow him with one of your corners, but your linebackers, particularly Al-Shayer, did not play well enough. And I don't know what happened to Christian Harris. Everyone was very excited about him coming back, and then he played very little in these playoffs. Maybe he wasn't as close to full strength as we had hoped. So they lose. They give up 8 sacks. The line is their biggest whiff. We'll get into, I guess, the existential big picture stuff with the Texans later, but I can't point to anything else but their line as the biggest reason why they didn't reach their potential. Injuries played a part with the wide receivers, but the investment placed in that offensive line and the lack of, well, continuity because of injuries and just overall performance is something that has to be looked at. How their evaluations have played out this poorly is something that needs to be addressed. DeMeco Ryans, after the game, talked about how he felt they were close. I don't think the Texans are close. You don't play either of your two divisional round games within a score. Are you that close? And this is a Chiefs team that no one thinks is great, although, you know, in all the games they've tried this year, they've only lost one. So maybe guys, we just stop saying, hey, I don't think they're very good. How many games do they have to win? Do they have to make a Super Bowl before you say that they're good?
Yes.
Okay, there's your answer.
Same thing with Josh Allen. Same thing with Lamar. There's only one good team every year.
The one who wins it?
Yeah, what are we talking
about? No, there's only...
Maybe the loser of the Super Bowl. Maybe, depending if we like you or not.
Yeah, it does depend. If the Commanders make the Super Bowl and lose it, people will say, what a great year. Jaden Daniels was great. We like the Commanders. Oh, that's a good football team.
There's another team that's good no matter what.
Your team?
No, the Cincinnati Bengals. God, what an awesome team.
I wish...
They would have killed all these teams. Mm-hmm. Never mind that they're 9-8.
Yeah. If the Cincinnati Bengals would have got in.
Oh, my God. Imagine Joe Burrow against that Buffalo defense. Whew.
Yeah. Imagine Joe Burrow. That's all we can do. Because Joe Burrow's defense wasn't good enough and had to fire their DC because of it.
No, but they're the best. The
most Chiefs, dangerous team.
The Chiefs are so happy they don't have to play the 9-8 Bengals in the AFC title.
All the Bengals' flaws wouldn't have popped up against a really good team. Not this version. Not this late season Bengals team, the one who barely beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, who we know are immensely flawed. Cut it out. I know we've done this bit before, but yeah, the Bengals thing is dumb. The Bengals thing has been dumb.
So, yeah, there's three good teams. Two maybe good teams.
I know everyone.
The winner of the Super Bowl, the Bengals, if we like the loser of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I know people love a quarterback and high-powered offense, but just be clear. The Bengals would have found a way to screw it up because that's who they've been all year. They've told you who they are. Much like the Texans have told you their offensive line can't pick up a stunt and has trouble being disciplined throughout the entire team, the Bengals are a team that's going to find a way to screw things up. That's why they're not in the playoffs. And the Texans told us who they were all year. They are somewhat tantalizing as far as their potential, but when it comes down to it, they weren't going to be good enough. And it played out that way. Every phase except for the defense, you could blame for what happened. And even the defense had their issues when it came to covering the Chiefs' best weapon. So they're a flawed football team who probably at the end of the day played up to their level. When you consider you only had Nico Collins to depend on, sure, the 12 offensive points is disappointing, but that Chiefs defense, when it matters, and hell, they've been good all year, but particularly when it means the most, they find ways. And if you have a fatal flaw, Spagnuolo will pick at it and pick at it, and we saw the floodgates come open in that fourth quarter. Hell, the Texans gave up 3 sacks in the first half anyway. It wasn't like that offensive line was great for pass protecting. They were good in the run game, particularly on that first drive coming out of the half. They beat up on the Chiefs. But they gave up 3 sacks in the first half. CJ did enough with his legs to get them the 6 points, and he did some of that in the first drive of the second half where he made some plays with his legs. But overall, you can't have an offensive line play that poorly and expect to win. And we saw. 12 offensive points. Why Andy Reid didn't just want to punt the football away, I don't know. I guess whether you bet, depending on when you bet last week, you're either pissed or thrilled by what Andy Reid did, taking that safety. But, 23-14, the final. The Texans go down. We'll start to hear from the Texans when we come back. A lot of complaining from them about the refs, or at least telling the world that they saw this coming. They knew what they're up against. Sean, if all they are away from a Nick Caserio, they're only a Nick Caserio memo away to the league, away from being the Rockets from 18-19. Just write that memo. Just mark down all the times that the refs screwed you over and send it to the NFL offices. And then you're just like the Rockets. Losing to a dynasty? Thinking you had a shot to win that against that dynasty?
That one time.
That one time? Complaining about calls?
Check.
Now you got to put it in paper. Put it in a sternly worded memo to the league, and you're full on Daryl Morey's Rockets. It had to be something that was the entire team talked about or felt like it was going to be a
Everyone
problem.
Everyone who had a microphone.
Anyone who had a microphone, except for Kyemi, because he's the kicker. Nothing.
Also, if Kyemi started talking about the refs, we would have a very serious problem.
Yes, but
you can't talk about it.
Everyone is talking about how the refs were always going to be a problem. They're going to have to play against them. They're going to have to accept it. And they knew it was going to be a problem. And you know what? Self-fulfilling prophecy? I don't know. I feel like that's the wrong mindset for a team who thinks they have a shot to go get to an AFC title game. We'll hear from them when we come back. So we're just getting started here. If you want to get in, you can. 713-780-3776. The Texans go down. We got a CFP final tonight. I'll ask a question here, Sean, for you to think about for later. Is if Notre Dame wins this title, beyond all our slander, particularly mine, being thrown back in my face, is Riley Leonard the worst quarterback in the last, well, since Craig Krenzel, since that's the one that John threw out. Is he the worst quarterback since Craig Krenzel to win a national title? That's going back to 2002. You got some Josh Heupel in there.
Well, yeah, we can answer that.
You got some Greg McElroy in there.
I'm very excited
You got some Jacob Coker in there.
He came to mind.
Mm-hmm. Just think about it. If he wins, maybe you think Will Howard should be involved in this too. I don't know.
No, there's enough that are clearly worse than him.
Okay, so we will talk about that at some point, as we do have a title game to talk about a little bit later. But more Texans when we come back. Like I said, if you want to get in, you can. 713-780-3776.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When reporters weren't asking the Texans questions about the refs, which was a thing all of them did, or at least one of them did, so they can get an answer from every person available. There were questions about how you feel about the season overall. Playing the Chiefs, outgaining them, feeling like you were in it. Should you feel good about this? Should you feel discouraged about it? Well, here's DeMeco Ryans on his feelings after losing in the divisional round to the Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm walking out of here discouraged. Like, this one hurts, right? Because I know we're a better football team than we showed today, no matter who we're playing against. Like, to go back and still have to talk about mistakes that we made in this moment, like, yeah, it's discouraging to be here, because we got to be over that at this point in the playoffs, right? Postseason football, you got to be at your best. You got to be operating on all cylinders. And for us, like, we didn't do that today. So that's what I'm just discouraged about for sure.
Now, this is immediately after the game. So when they do their audit for the year, he may have a different thought. But you're not a better team than this. This is who you are. This is who they've been for the better part of two seasons. Last year, it was okay. It was the first year. Hey, your first year coach, you got a rookie quarterback, you got a rookie OC. All the things that were issues last year, that's fine. You're building. You're not a better football team than this. That's who you've always been. You make mistakes. Your offensive line has issues at pretty much the worst times. And your offense has been middling. Even last year, they weren't a great offense. It was just a surprise that you had a rookie quarterback play as well as you did, but overall, they weren't a great offense. And this year, they're bottom 10 offense. So you cannot say we're a better football team than this. You mean when you're playing the Patriots on the road? Oh, sure. You can be clicking on all cylinders when you're playing a bad football team. But against the best football teams, you're not a dominant football team. You've been great making quarterbacks' lives a living hell at home. But even those games, there were lulls in your performance. The Lions game, certainly. The Bills game, you were up big and you had to hold them off. You forced multiple turnovers from the Dolphins and it was still down to the last drive. What are we talking about? This is who they are. I'm not saying it'll be what they are in the future. You can make personnel changes. You can fire guys if you need to. But I don't want to hear that this is not who we are. Of course it's who you are. It's been now 38 games of it. And this season, this is who you are. And it ended the way, it ended predictably, where you're playing a guy you probably shouldn't play in Shaq Mason. Your offensive line continues to have problems. You get your quarterback beat up because now you can't run the football because the game script has tilted in a way where you have to throw all the time. And the other team makes enough plays to beat you. Let's get to Zach. Zach wants to talk Texans. What's up, Zach?
Hey, what's up, guys? I just wanted to clarify that, you know, they're not a bad team. They just can't make mistakes and beat themselves like they did. Granted, the refs helped, but they just kept doing the same mistakes that they've done all year, you know. Missing the field goals, that, and the PATs, that just, it ends all the momentum that they would have had versus if they would have made it. And that's really what it boils down to, is just making the mistakes and knowing that the refs are going to be on Mahomes' side as one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. You know, just knowing that and then making their own mistakes, they shot themselves in the foot several times.
I agree, Zach. They don't have a margin for error. You want to point to injuries that they've had on their offense, okay. But as much as the refs were a conversation, is anyone who isn't a homer for the Texans saying they would have won that game if not for the penalties? Is anyone saying that the Texans played well enough to win if not for the penalties? There are times when you can go, okay, that unfair call led to us losing the game. That happens. And the most egregious, and particularly the timing of the penalty, but sure, the penalties sucked. You don't want those calls happening. And I believe it led to a field goal, and then I think the Chiefs scored a touchdown on the Patrick Mahomes' second personal foul penalty. Of course, I think that they had to go 46 more yards to do it, I think, but they did score a touchdown, I believe, on that, I believe. Or was it a field goal? Maybe it was a field goal. But no one is saying the Texans win if not for that, because they made too many mistakes. And they've done it all year. Kyme Fairbairn missing extra points at the worst times. The story about him early was all the 50-yard field goals he made. When that went away, it was about Kyme missing an extra point here, missing a kick here.
Yeah, I think he missed an extra point in three of the last four games. The only one he didn't miss an extra point in, can you guess? The Ravens game where they scored 2 points.
Where he didn't get an opportunity. Yes. So I would have more patience for the refs screwed you if you made it so obvious that beyond you outgaining them, you would have won this game if not for those calls. And the outgaining thing is interesting, but to be clear, you gave up a long punt return that doesn't, or kick return that doesn't count for total yards,
yeah,
and then a penalty on top of it. So that's where three of the points came from. So the Chiefs beat you in special teams in a way where they got their first 3 points. So yeah, it doesn't count for total yards, but why not? If when we're calculating how this game went, they had a giant special teams play, and let's be honest, how many people thought the Chiefs aren't going to return a kick again against us on the first? That's not going to happen again, right? And it almost did.
Yeah.
I thought him. I saw.
Thank you, Chris Boyd, for saving us.
Yes, well,
you deserve to throw your. What did you think when that happened? And they were showing him pushing the Frank Ross. What was your initial reaction?
I thought initially he was like, "Yeah, Frank, let's go." That's what I thought. Like he was excited.
Yeah.
About making the play. Wasn't aware that, because we see that all the time.
The more replays I saw, I think he thought that or I don't know if he was just so amped up he didn't care. I think he thought the Texans recovered the fumble and was like celebrating like they got the ball.
That's what I thought. And clean it up a little bit. The Mahomes Tua Tagovailoa personal foul did lead to a touchdown. It was their first touchdown of the second half. Their only touchdown second half.
Yeah, responding, that was the Kelce one,
responding
right?
to the Texans' touchdown. Yeah, so that did lead to a touchdown eventually. I thought he was like, we got this. What a play I made. Let's go, Frank. Let's go.
Yeah, I thought he just, whatever, Nick Young did, walked
very
away
much so, yeah.
celebrating before it went in.
Yeah.
It was dropping the ball before you get into the end zone. It's basically what he did.
The special teams tackle version of that, sure. Why wouldn't that happen for the Texans?
Because at first I thought he might have been, like, pissed off at Frank Gross or something.
I was like, I couldn't.
But then when they showed the, like, him throwing his helmet, I was like, no, this is a celebration. Yeah. This is all in celebration.
He was willing to pick up on the sportsmanlike conduct because of the play he made to save a point that likely would have occurred and get the ball back.
Refs, you know what you do. You know what you face when you go to KC.
You
can't even pop your helmet off and push your coat.
I know that's a rule that no one can get away with, but only in Kansas City would they call it.
Yeah, it's ticky-tack stuff.
Exactly.
3:30 on a Saturday. Let them play.
To my point, yes. The Tua Tagovailoa play, the Will Anderson play, sucks. Why are we calling that? And then Patrick Mahomes just like, you know what? I'm going to be a complete heel and fake like they committed one on me and see if I can draw a flag.
I think the worst one was the flop that didn't get called.
Yeah.
On the sideline where he like fully does the whoop.
It's the one where everyone's like, man, you already get all the damn calls. Now you're trying to grab one.
Anyone that's defending you has to stop defending.
Yeah, anyone's like, hey, yeah, he delayed. He probably should have went down. He brought that on himself. Whatever.
But he's gaming the system.
Yeah,
he's...
and you're like, that sucks. But you know what? Okay, you try what you try.
Yeah.
But this one,
just that
cut
one,
it out, man.
That
I can't. There's nothing you can do for him right there to shoot him some bail.
That one needs to go on the
real
all time James Harden. Flop reel.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a compilation now that TikTok remains.
There's a Josh Allen one. I've seen the Josh Allen.
I'm sure the Kansas City one, if it doesn't exist, will exist. Someone will get on it now that their favorite app is still available.
It was a tough 12 hours, I will say.
Certainly. Thanks to... Is he now the current president again? Has that gone through yet? Has the inauguration
sure.
gone through?
I'll give it to him.
I mean, it's a foregone conclusion if it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, it's going to happen like an hour.
Yeah. Thanks to him, as TikTok told us that we have it back, that compilation will show up, and Patrick Mahomes, that will be the final clip. Like you remember that someone made a song, it was just F. Steph Curry. It was like during the middle of the Warriors' big run.
I like roughly remember it.
And he just said a lot of things derogatory about Steph Curry. Those songs, if they haven't started, along with the compilations, will begin about Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, yeah. Mahomes is a good last name, too, to rhyme with.
Yeah, I credit Chiefs fans for this. In less than half the time, they've become more insufferable, or at least as insufferable as Patriot fans.
Yeah. Yeah. What helps them is that it's only really Nick Wright.
But even the randoms who don't have a platform are bad, and then some of the ones who are less.
I don't see those guys.
Even some of the ones that are like, I don't follow any Chiefs fans really, but there are basketball accounts that I'll check in on that happen to be a Chiefs fan, and they're as insufferable as anyone. I think most of it has to do like the Patriots didn't want like Mahomes on Brady's corner, like watching Allen and.
Lamar
go at it. They don't want any talk. They don't want it. Well, they beat Stroud, so they're okay with it.
Well, did someone tell them that he was the highest rated PFF quarterback?
I'm sure they know, and I'm sure they're laughing at all of that. They don't want anyone on their corner. They don't want anyone to talk about how good those guys have been this year and why they're the better quarterbacks, and they can always fall back on never beat the man in the playoffs. So what do you talk about? A lot of their problems and a lot of why they're awful people, at least on Twitter. Is they want to keep people off Mahomes' corner.
Don't worry, the refs are already doing that.
They don't. Yeah, the refs are the crossing guards. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you can't even touch the guy.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Let alone get on his corner. You kidding me?
Yeah. Don't worry. You get your corners.
Get the whole street.
I will say this. I know going into next week's game, everyone's going to be rooting for the Bills. I'm going to come back and tell you why that's a bad idea. It's a bad idea. Everyone wants the Chiefs to lose. One of these teams is enough, by the way. Just going to point that out. We'll talk about that when we come back. If you want to get in, like Zach, you can, 713-780-3776. It was a rough one, but almost predictable how that game went down from the refs and the Texans making their own mistakes. It's kind of been the way they've operated all year, and it came back to bite them in the end. We will talk more about the Texans, and we'll get into the rest of the playoffs. We talked a little bit about the Bills and passing and the Ravens, so we'll get to that as well. The premier game of the playoffs so far had a remarkable ending. If you missed it, I doubt that you did. We'll get to that. But first, let's talk about MyBookie. MyBookie.ag is a website you go to if you want to put some money down on tonight's game. We got a CFP final. Sean will ponder the question. Is Riley Leonard the worst quarterback who would ever win a title in the last 20 years? We'll get to that a little bit later. But MyBookie is the place you go to if you like Riley Leonard at Notre Dame tonight, or maybe you think, like Lance, and Ohio State's going to run Notre Dame off the field. All that for you to take a look at MyBookie.ag. Maybe you like college basketball. Maybe you like the NBA. We got a full slate of games honoring MLK starting at 11. I think it's on NBA TV. The Mavericks are playing, so you can check that out. Full day of sports if that's what you want. So they have it all, from basketball to the NBA to the NHL to the NFL. There for you to take a look at. Of course, we got tennis, the Premier League, all that international soccer to take advantage of as well. And they have a 50% match up to $1,000. So you want to put some money in, they're going to give you half of that extra to bet. And of course, remember the casino. You want to play cards, poker, blackjack, roulette. All that stuff is there for you at MyBookie. Just use promo code BET975. Remember, go to MyBookie.ag where you can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
I don't remember if I said what we were going to get to because Joe came in and reminded me of that dumb proposal that the ACC might be considering, where they give their regular season top seed a bye, and then the team who finishes second and third, those two teams play each other in the ACC title game, which I don't know what that means, because I guess we don't recognize the team, the regular season champ with a title. They don't get an automatic bid. I don't know how that play out, because wouldn't they have to get the playoff committee to agree to acknowledge that their regular season champion is their champion, and the 2 and 3 play for a fake ACC title in the hopes that you don't hurt your best team's chances to make it? I don't know. It sounds dumb. They also have a situation where they could possibly have the top four seeds play a semifinal weekend, 1 versus 4, 2 versus 3. They just remove a game from their schedule. Let those four teams play while the rest of the ACC finishes out their regular season, and then the winners of the semifinals play in the ACC title game. That seems more interesting. Given the one seed a bye seems very dumb ACC stuff. We will see. I hope the ACC claims Notre Dame as their champion, considering how many games that Notre Dame plays against ACC opponents. Just take it. Just say, hey, when you do your little highlight thing to talk about how great your conference is, if you can point to Notre Dame in basketball, which you wouldn't because they're not that great in men's basketball, but women's are pretty good, point to Notre Dame in football. Accept it. Although Notre Dame earlier this week said, nah, we value our independence over having a bye. And it's worked out for them in the first year of it. Got a home game and now 60 minutes away from playing for a national title. I think Ohio State wins that game. Notre Dame might muck it up, though. That's what they're kings of that. Just muck up this game. Make it as ugly as possible and see at the very end if that nonsensical luck of the Irish thing plays a part. I don't know if it was luck for Drew Aller to throw that football. I think that was just Drew Aller being Drew Aller. I don't know how lucky you were.
No, number one quarterback if he would have came out this year. That's what I heard.
Everyone in the NFL should feel fortunate that he's staying in. Because if you guys were going to convince yourself that that guy is the leader of your franchise, pack it up. Like, I don't know who would have picked him, but if the draft people were telling the world that Drew Aller was your guy, better. Is he bringing the NFL version of Singleton and Allen with them? Are you going to have the Eagles running game for Drew Allen to be successful? Some version of that, the tight ends coming with them too? What are you talking about?
Can he throw for 110 yards in the playoffs? Jalen Hurts can.
I'm going to say no. Oh. Drew Allen can't. Oh. Can he run for?
Also, no turnovers. That helps.
Yeah, and running for like a 45-yard touchdown on the first drive. Can Drew Allen do that in the NFL? Athletic. Against Northwestern. Sure, I believe he could do it against Northwestern. Maybe Illinois.
Purdue.
Although Bielema's defense is pretty good, usually.
He can do Purdue. Illinois, come on. Don't disrespect my guy, Bielema, like that.
I said Bielema's defense is pretty good. Comparatively speaking, yeah, he could do it against Purdue. Purdue.
Riley Leonard did it against Purdue.
Purdue was an awful football team this year. Let's get to Eric as we get away from whatever the hell I thought we were going to get to before the segment started. Eric, what's up?
Hey, Bill. Great show. Happy MLK Day.
Thanks, Sean, Eric.
Happy Inauguration Day for you.
Are you celebrating Inauguration Day, Sean? He wished you a happy Inauguration Day.
Oh. I didn't know he was wishing that to me.
It's specifically
theme. I mean, I'm at work, so not celebrating it that much.
All right, Eric. Thank you for the well wishes. We will both celebrate them once we're off of work. Mm-hmm. What's up?
Thank you. Yeah, I heard this morning that Deion and Jerry are close to signing a deal for Deion to become the head coach. What are your thoughts on that? Also, with the Mahomes, do you think they'll change the rules next year, or they're going to keep him to save the QB, I guess, because the QB is the NFL nowadays. And Captain America with the Red Hulk, how do you think that would do out in the movie theaters? I'm kind of excited to see it with the new Captain America. I'll hang up and listen.
Let's start. I have not heard the Deion Jerry Jones thing. What I think about if it did happen, the Cowboys aren't serious. You would have to tell me what specifically Deion on the NFL level, what specifically about him on the NFL level is appealing. Is he a leader of men? I don't know. He's a leader of college kids. And sure, Colorado had a nice turnaround. But did they wind up going like 9-4 this year? Is that where they wound up? Or did they go 10-3?
Something like that.
So he was fine. Great turnaround from where they were the year before. I'm just not sure what he's done at Jackson State and Colorado merits coaching. But of course, sometimes it doesn't matter. Now it was on the coordinator level, but Mike Vrabel wasn't a very good coordinator. Went on to be a good coach. Certainly tailed off at the end there in Tennessee. So I would say this. Is anyone else seriously considering Deion Sanders beyond Jerry Jones and the Cowboys, if they're even doing that? You don't always go by what everyone else is doing, but that would be a clue for me. Is Deion getting interviews with the Bears, who seem to like want to interview everyone? The Bears are interviewing. They want another college coach to have a conversation with, Marcus Freeman. So they're not against talking to college coaches. I have not heard them be in line to talk to Deion. I would say if you're a Cowboy fan, hopefully there are more potential candidates besides Schottenheimer, Moore, and Sanders. Not the most appealing. And this follows up possibly bringing back Mike McCarthy if they could have agreed to some 1 or 2 year deal. So I would say this. What did the patriarch of succession say about his family?
Oh, I don't have it, but you are not serious people.
This is what you would say about the Cowboys right now. Get serious. Brian Schottenheimer, of all people. What? What else did he ask about besides Captain America and Red Hulk?
Gosh, what was that?
I don't remember. Was it that important anyway? Probably not. I would assume. If Eric, if I listened back before the show's over, and if I could, maybe Sean will find it. Captain America and Red Hulk, you're excited about it. I'm willing to give Marvel every chance, particularly the vibe from the trailers in this movie suggests we're talking more spy thriller with superheroes involved than some of the other stuff they've done. And I'm in. I love that genre. I wound up watching like the last Jason Bourne movie just because I love that stuff. It's not great. I watched it the last couple of dates.
Ultimatum?
No, the one that just called Jason Bourne. Oh. It was Matt Damon came back after several years after they tried to give Hawkeye the role in Bourne Legacy, I think it was called.
That one's Bourne Legacy.
Yeah.
Two fumbled handoffs to Jeremy Renner with Bourne and Mission Impossible.
Yeah. Two times he had a chance to take over, and actually, no. We want the original guy back.
No. Just drop the ball like Lamar Jackson. That's what we're going to talk about.
Oh, yeah, we're going to talk Bills. But I was going to talk
about...
We
got distracted by... Funny enough, by a ACC...
Yeah, Joe came in.
To give the second and third place ACC team a chance at the playoff. Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, Joe...
Former third place Louisville Cardinals.
Heisman Trophy winner.
And Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah, Joe distracted me with ACC mostly college football stuff, which I always like. Yeah, we will get to why, if you are rooting for the Bills next week, just because it's a reason to hate against the Chiefs, I would say watch yourself. Just be prepared. We'll get to that when we come back, if I remember. Also, if you want to get in, 713-780-3776. So it's open. You want to talk more Texans, we can. We'll have sound from CJ on the rest. We haven't heard from him. We play D'Amico. He's discouraged about the game and his team. They kept making the same mistakes. We'll see what CJ had to say about the rest in general and his performance as well, as he played well. He overcame quite a bit, just wasn't enough. His team around him wasn't good enough, and that is the big question going into the offseason. How do the Texans maximize their quarterback? He stood up, probably played his best football in weeks. It just didn't look like it for some because he was running for his life. We'll get to that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
So we'll save the Beware of Bills, the Bills stuff for the second hour. We got a couple calls we'll get to before we wrap it up. We always go first with the person who actually used their real name. So we'll go with Anthony. Anthony wants to talk Texans. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, guys. So with the whole offensive line and Texans and everything in the game, to me, I don't have to complain about it. It's just everything they did with a young team. The whole disciplinarian stuff, that's on D'Amico, and I hope he learns from that the upcoming year. But I feel like, and this is not like a, off of the head type thing, but I feel like they should revamp that entire offensive line. For Nick Caserio, he came from the Patriots. And one thing that the Patriots always had was a great offensive line. Tom Brady weapons were always trash, except for, Gronkowski, but they had Wes Welker and Danny Amendola and all those guys. Those guys, they get open quick, but their offensive line, to me, I'm a Patriots fan, always will be. Their offensive line was always better than most of the offensive lines that they played against. But with the Texans, they had the weakest offensive line. So instead of spending all this money and draft capital on getting Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, and getting other receivers, they should put all their resources in a better offensive line. If we had a better offensive line, it don't matter what the refs would have did. Even though they did everything they possibly could to make sure the Chiefs had momentum in that first half, if you don't get sacked 8 times, we beat the Chiefs by 2 touchdowns. Like, it's not even close. But our offensive line is trash, so, he's running for his life and he's getting beat up all day. So that's my honest opinion. Only thing they need on this team is a better offensive line, and we can learn from all his issues. And then we're beating the Chiefs, not the Ravens. The Ravens, well, Lamar Jackson in the playoffs is always Lamar Jackson.
Well, we saw Lamar Jackson in the playoffs against the Texans, and that wasn't close. But to your point, the offensive line is a problem. The issue is they've put in so many resources. Are they willing to toss those guys aside? Pay Titus Howard, Scruggs, Patterson. They drafted relatively high. Blake Fisher, another guy. And then, of course, Shaq Mason, who they brought back, they gave money to and traded for. Right? So they have tried to address it. They've just been wrong It's the biggest whiff of the offseason. I thought not getting a legit corner would be the problem. Turns out Kamari Lassiter, fine pick. Nick Caserio can pick a secondary. Stingley, Lassiter, Bullock, or Bullock. Jalen Petrie, for all his faults, when he's going forward, can make plays. So no problems picking secondary members. The offensive line evaluations have been off. Who to pay, deciding who to pay has been off. It would take them, and I didn't even mention Kenyon Green, they're going to have to either find themselves an O-line coach who can transform this unit into not only being cohesive, but understanding assignments, because as bad as they were, Karlaftis had 3 sacks rushing through and around tight ends and backs. I know they don't have an elite pass rusher that besides Chris Jones that you want to pay real attention to, but at some point, don't put your poorest blocking tight end and your third down back on George Karlaftis. He's already got a couple. Don't give him another one. So they've got functionality issues. They've got, I guess, talent issues. And they got scheme issues. They've got, it's a problem throughout. So it's going to take more than just, it feels like it's going to take more than just firing your O-line coach to get it right. Because Lance, when he wasn't taking shots at O-line guys that are close, near and dear to Sean and I's hearts.
Not so dear to my heart.
Oh, you don't really like that guy very much. But Lance was so upset about his own offensive line, the Texans I'm talking about, that he wanted to take shots at other people's offensive lines. So he believes there's a mentality issue. I can't speak to that. I mean, we make the jokes about them being a bit too swaggy to be offensive linemen. Like, I don't know if the Lions offensive line cares about their fit so much. Besides Penei Sewell, he's the one. I'm not making an assumption. I've seen his Instagram. He cares. But the rest of them are all like, hey, look at my young son. And look at me wearing a Lions jersey standing next to my wife. It's a lot of that on the Lions offensive line. I'm not saying that's the only way to get it done. But if we're talking about the best offensive line in football.
Yeah. A lot less fit picks.
Yeah. The Texans.
Picture of your Jordans after losing 31-2 on the.
Yeah. It's clear
Christmas.
That the Texans have the worst offensive line in the AFC. Maybe the worst offensive line in the playoffs. Now, the Commanders have lost Cosme. He's out. A Texas guy. Yeah. He's out. But they have played well enough, along with Jaden Daniels making enough plays to be competent and survive. The Texans, out of the 8 teams, even the Rams, I would say, despite them blowing it by turning Jalen Carter loose on third down when they were driving to win the game, were better than their Texas offensive line. So likely the 7th or 8th worst offensive line in the playoffs. That's not survival. Well, Anthony mentioned the disciplinarian that is D'Amico Ryans, or allegedly that is D'Amico Ryans. The Texans were 28th in penalties this year. So for all the, hey, hard-nosed offensive coach, former linebacker, he has consistently, and it's only been 2 seasons, consistently had a undisciplined football team. Now, it doesn't always keep you from success because the Ravens, you know, they made the playoffs too. The Ravens were worse. The Ravens aren't playing in the title game because of their turnovers. But having to overcome penalties is tough, particularly in these tight ball games. The Bills made less mistakes and won. I don't know at any point if the Texans are going to get to a point where they're the disciplined, we don't make mistakes team. Until that happens, they're always going to be playing behind. They go into games behind because their team is going to do dumb things. Sometimes they're mental, sometimes they're physical, no matter what. In these games where you have to be at your best, why should we expect the Texans to be at their best right now? They have not shown the ability to do that against good football teams consistently in D'Amico Ryan's tenure. Young coach, we'll see if he can fix it. LaSalsa, I'll get to you when we come back. We'll get to some Bills-Ravens stuff when we come back as well. If you want to get in, you can. Always, 713-780-3776 is the number. So, season's over. We'll get into some of the bigger questions maybe tomorrow. Maybe we'll stick to the game yesterday. We got to get to the CFP also, because Sean's still got to answer a question. He's doing his research, but he's got a question to answer. So we'll get to that in the second hour. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5. Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed, "I found nirvana! I win!" They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $365 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only. Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.